The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Brack Isola, Israel Gutierrez, Harry Lyles Jr., Bill Plaschke.
Hello.
What if? Nope. So are the Celtics now the new favorites in the NBA? And the most improved player award, Ja gave it to Bane. Is it now Bane's award? Let's go around the horn.
How could Ja win that?
That's man, take this back to 12.
Who's that? Hello, Bill.
Bill, you won columnist of the year. Why can't Ja win most improved? Both are up three from the best.
I feel like I have to force you people to talk about the Boston Celtics first instead of the Brooklyn Nets. Talk about the Boston Celtics first and not the Brooklyn Nets. Here we go. The flawless opening playoff series sweep, which really is a continuation of the last 3 months of the season. Team, some on this panel wanted to be broken up after the first month of the year and the last couple postseasons. But here was, for me, Jason Tatum fouling out, the mystery foul, and then Brooklyn pulling to within one with 90 seconds left, but this team still held on. Went to the hoop after the Durant missed free throw and close out on D and board and ice the game. Bill Plaschke, how impressive was this sweep by the Boston Celtics, the team you will talk about first here, and are they now the favorite to win it all?
I hate saying this. Gosh, I hate saying this. They're the best team in the NBA, the Celtics are, right now, without question. They just dominated. They didn't just beat the Nets. They dominated them. Kevin Durant, 32 field goals, 21 turnovers, his worst shooting playoffs in 5 years. They out-rebounded them by 54. They scored 1.6 points on transition. That would have led the league this year. They scored nearly 120 points per 100 possessions. That would have led the league as well. They dominated from every point, and their big three, Jaylen Brown, was unbelievable. Marcus Smart, 28 assists, 10 turnovers. And, of course, Jason Tatum was all world. And yet, when he leaves the game, they still win the game. This wasn't even close, and I don't see any team at this point playing as well as Boston's been playing since January. This has been a story since January, and everybody's ignored it, including me, because I hate the Celtics, but I got to get
– All right, Frank Isola, bring you in here.
Yeah, well, Bill's wrong about it not being close. The total, they only outscored the Brooklyn Nets by 18 points in the four games. And let's not forget, game one, 45 seconds ago, the Nets are up three. And then Jaylen Brown, who hit the big shot last night,
but it didn't
had the big layup,
close.
Which gave them a chance. That's different. But it was, and the Nets were up 17 in game two. But Boston, 26-6 since the end of the season. And it's also a team that has now won four playoff games. They have size, athleticism. Give Danny Ainge a lot of credit for the players he drafted. Brad Stevens with this team. Ime Udoka, who's taken them to a different level. They are today's NBA. They have five guys that can all defend on the perimeter. That was a big difference in this series. They made life miserable for Kevin Durant.
Israel Gutierrez on the Boston Celtics. Are they the favorites in the Eastern Conference and in the NBA right now?
I think they're the favorites in the NBA right now, not by a large margin, but they're the favorites in the NBA right now. And it's not because of what they did in this series. It's because of what they've done since January. This series, with all those offensive numbers that Bill spewed out, like, that's against a Nets team that isn't really a defensive juggernaut, right? And defensively, we've seen this Celtics team beat together, you know, for most of this season. And in this series, frankly, it's just a little bit easier to beat together when you're talking about two individuals that are just going to take it one-on-one a lot of the times. If you watched early on in this game, it looked like they were trying to get the ball to Kevin Durant on the move and see if they can give him different looks. But in the end, it sort of devolved into the same old thing. And the Celtics really suffocated that duo. Now, is it things going to be different when, you know, Jason Tatum sees a really sort of different defense, a Giannis-led defense, if you will, and maybe make life more difficult for him? Yes, but that's what makes the Celtics team so different than the ones in before. Tatum and Brown are working within an offense. It's not on them to outplay Kevin Durant, just play within the offense, and they will still do well and probably win. So, yeah, I'd say they're the favorites.
Okay, so now that's two saying the favorites of the NBA. Harry Lyles Jr., I ask you the same question. Are the Celtics now the favorites in your mind?
I think so. And I honestly think that because they gave us a sweep, it's hard to say that they wouldn't be. Because I think any reasonable person would have the expectation that Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving, one or the other, or even both, would be able to shoot you into a win or two in that series. And they still weren't able to do it. And I think one of the things that we saw out of Jason Tatum was his defensive prowess right there, specifically on Kevin Durant, where for the series, he holds him to 15 points on 4 of 17 shooting and 9 turnovers. To see that kind of improvement from him while also carrying the offensive load, to me, is Jason Tatum going from a star to a superstar. I will say, though, I think the Milwaukee Bucks are a 1B, and if the Bucks are able to ultimately get past the Bulls, a Bucks-Celtics series would be what a lot of people thought Nets-Celtics was going to be.
Flash, keep back in.
I thought Jason Tatum's game-winning shot said it all. There's no more unselfish, complete team than the Celtics right now.
Frank Isola.
And remember, last year, the Celtics were a dead team walking. Brown didn't play in that series. They lost in 5 games. Their starting backcourt was Kemba Walker and Evan Fournier. I wonder where those two guys ended up. But this was all about the growth of Jason Tatum, who was an MVP candidate in this league. He's going to win that award one year.
Israel Gutierrez.
And it's fitting that they beat Kyrie Irving, because remember Kyrie complaining about the young kids? Well, those young kids ran into adversity this year, got called out by Marcus Smart, and now what are they doing? They're moving the ball, they're playing well, they responded to it. And
that's the origin story of this team this season, right? That moment where Smart says, I don't know, are they going to be? And they all put it together 1 month, 2 months into the season. Okay, I love you guys. But you are so predictable that you would react and or overreact immediately, Bill Flaschke, Frank Isola, the team you saw last night.
Overreaction.
You forgot about the Warriors. Israel didn't even bring up the Heat. That shocked me. The Bucks are the defending champs. Okay, we'll move on. Frank, let's talk about the Nets now, the postmortem that you knew was coming from the start of the season, the colossal failure that this year was. You give them 4 games, they'll give away the world. Irving admitted they had no time to gel, and they didn't this season. Durant wanted to be left to die on the floor, and die he did, his worst postseason ever. And the takes, I talked about this yesterday, they have been spicy, if not overboard, if not personal. And today, Kevin Durant clearly heard them because he went back at Charles Barkley and the comment that Barkley said he's a bus rider, or at least some players in the NBA are bus rider. Durant took that personally. We'll get to that in a second. Here's one more thing from Kyrie Irving.
When I say I'm here with Kev, I think that it really entails us, managing this franchise together alongside Joe and Sean.
All right, that's a comment similar to do we even need a coach from 2 years ago, Frank? How did you hear that?
Yeah.
How do you even begin to pick up the pieces?
So he wants a seat at the table with the owner, the GM, and the head coach, and Kevin Durant. It's going to be a little awkward when the conversation turns to, should we give this guy a long-term extension? Should we really go down this road? How about this? Bill Belichick used to say, do your job. How about doing your job first? You've played in 103 games since you've been here. And Kevin Durant now is going to go into next season. Huge question mark with Kyrie. Huge question mark with Ben Simmons. This team was a part-time team all year long. Injuries had something to do with it. Joe Harris, Kevin Durant. Harden was out of shape, asked to be traded. The guy that replaced him never played. Kyrie with the vaccination status. They were a part-time team that lost to a full-time team. Do not tell me the regular season doesn't matter. It matters to the Phoenix Suns. It matters to Milwaukee, the Miami Heat, and the Boston Celtics. It didn't matter to the Nets. And where are they now? Done.
Wow, Frank. Frank, I love you. You're among friends here. You seem personally insulted. There are basketball fans and former greats, of course. I'm talking about Charles. I'm talking about Shaq, who seem personally insulted by this team. Is it because the disrespect in the regular season, as you just said?
And again, there were a lot of factors. And I love Kevin Durant. I'm not putting this on Kevin Durant. His injury had a lot to do with it. And Kevin Durant is still a brilliant player, even though he wasn't great in this series. But the Brooklyn Nets, they have to get to a point where the regular season matters. It mattered to the Boston Celtics. They got better. The Milwaukee Bucks went to the finals with the Phoenix Suns. How did they come out of the gates this year? Phoenix lost. They won 64 games during the regular season. The regular season matters if you want to be a championship team. Let's not try to fool ourselves.
Israel, are you with Frank there that the Nets did not take this season? I don't even want to use the word seriously, but there was a miscommunication in how they approached it.
I mean, I think it was a bit of a mess from the very beginning, and a lot of it was outside factors that don't really normally revolve around basketball, including a vaccine. So I think, you know, when it comes to James Harden and that trade situation, them sort of getting rid of a problem, but then bringing on a bigger problem because he's not even on the court to help you, I think that was sort of doomed. And, you know, when you talk about a team that's, you know, supposed, like, this is supposed to be Kevin Durant proving that, hey, I didn't have to jump on the bus with Steph Curry to win championships. I'm a championship caliber leader, but he picked a guy in Kyrie Irving that now looks like a questionable choice, and he okayed a coach in Steve Nash, which now looks like a questionable choice to just sort of, you know, have somebody skip the line when it's this important and this difficult to put together a super team. I don't know if everybody else was screaming at the television to have them make Marcus Smart pick up the ball because the clock is running, but anyway, I do think that, you know, there's a lot of maybe mistakes that Kevin Durant has made, and now he's sort of the one, you know, the basketball purist of the group, the guy who's really got, has the most at stake here, really needs to find a way to clean this up because a lot of it's on him.
Harry Lyles Jr.
So the one thing that really sticks out to me here, because there are obviously a lot of things, as Izzy mentioned, both on and off the court that were at hand here, making the Nets one of the big what-if teams this season. But this feels like big enough of a failure to where usually the way that these things go is somebody has to answer for it. And to me, that seems like it's probably Kyrie Irving because of all the games that he missed, which was an option, a choice that he made, or Steve Nash because of a perceived lack of coaching that he was bringing to the table, because it didn't really seem like it affected any of the games, or at least he didn't have a fingerprint on any of the games. So to me, this seems like a situation that somebody's going to have to suffer consequences for. I think the question that the Nets have to ask themselves, or at least the management and ownership, is do all of these what ifs, if they are all, you know, correct answers, does that make us the best team in the NBA? And I don't know that they can answer that question even after everything that we saw this season. So it's a big question.
You don't know if they could answer that, or the answer is no, Harry?
I don't know that they could answer it just because there were so many different factors at play. But also, how could you trust what we just saw, everything through the entirety of the season going into next
year? You look like you have something you want to say. Please, Bill.
Yeah, the answer is no. The answer is no, Harry. The Nets are a complete mess. And Kyrie Irving drives me crazy saying he and Kevin are going to manage the franchise. He can't manage himself. He's got to manage himself out of there. They got to manage to get him off the team. This is a team that, I don't care, what are they, 43 different lines this year. They still suffered from lack of leadership. Teams in the NBA still need strong coaches. They still need strong direction. The stars can't run the team. You can see what happened here in L.A. with the Lakers. LeBron James can't run the team. They need, so unfortunately, Steve Nash is going to have to take the fall on this. They need a more powerful, stronger voice that can run that team and get rid of Kyrie.
Isola, back in after the horn.
Yeah, I'm not buying it, though, about Steve Nash. I mean, the two best players on the team went 1-for-17 in the second half of game two. So everyone sits around and tells me all the time, most skilled point guard of all time. We all know that Kevin Durant is great. But now it's Steve Nash's fault that they go 1-for-17 in the second half? This falls on the start. Kevin Durant had a solid season, not a good playoff. Big question about Kyrie. How many years do you give him? He's going to be back. How many years, though?
Ben Horn, we're taking a break right here. Frank Isola is just... This is a day I think you knew was coming from the start of the season. You knew this team didn't have it all together. And the question was, what if?
Like last year.
The answer was nope. We'll be back by yourself.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th, one-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome back to Around the Horn, coming to you from the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17.
Raptors 103, Sixers 88, so two wins for Toronto, this one without Fred VanVleet. And in the two full games since hurting his thumb. Joel Embiid barely getting to 20 points. Embiid says the Sixers are fine, need better defense, and Harden needs to take more shots, but maybe coach should be the one to tell him that. That's what Embiid said. Bill, are the Sixers fine like Embiid says, or is it becoming troublesome how tough it's been the last two games?
Troublesome, Tony. I've heard this before. I've been around Doc before when he's blown 2-3 and 3-1 leads. And the players, Blake Griffin, Chris Paul, the Clippers said, we're fine, we're going to be fine, calm down. Doc, for some reason, loses control of teams when they're in, and they have leads in series. There's no sense of urgency there. 16 turnovers yesterday. They didn't lead after the 21-second mark of the game, which is unthinkable. They're in trouble. They are in legit
trouble. They're in trouble. They were up 3-0. This wasn't a 3-1 situation.
I know.
But
it's even worse.
Harry Lyles Jr., how about you?
Tony, I'm buying that they're a significant other's fine, which means no, they're not fine, actually. And to Bill's point, you obviously have Doc Rivers' record on this. And you also have to look at, there's too many things that they need to go right when James Harden is playing the way that he's playing. So they might be able to get out of this series, but if you have to face the Miami Heat team in the next round, this is absolutely not going to cut it.
Israel Gutierrez?
I mean, they're not fine because Joel Embiid's thumb is not in great shape. They're not going to have Matisse Thybulle in Game 6 in Toronto. The idea of Joel Embiid saying James Harden should be more aggressive sounds great, but a more aggressive James Harden might end up with 25% shooting on 25 shots. Like, we've seen that from him in the postseason before, especially when he's not in a groove. This absolutely feels like a team that could feel the pressure and collapse on itself, and we've seen a couple of pieces do that.
Frank Isola, are you as dim as Israel is right here on Philadelphia?
Yeah, and I'll tell you what, you got to be rooting for Toronto to win and force a Game 7. No team has ever come back from 0-3. All the pressure in the world on James Harden, Doc Rivers, Joel Embiid. But, of course, Bill's going to put it on Doc. This is James Harden. He came to camp out of shape. He's still not in good shape. Another 4-for-11, 4-for-12, 4-for-15. It's the month of April. Now we're moving into May. Start making 5 shots a game instead of 4.
You love the coaches, Frank. Will you once hold the coaches accountable? Do you ever hold a coach accountable, Frank?
It's a players' league, Bill. It's a players' league, right?
in the postseason, it's about the coaches.
We'll move on. Buy or sell two. Mavs annihilating the Jazz last night. Still some fireworks in this one, though. Mid-blowout, Luka tried to yam on Hassan Whiteside. Whiteside would not let that happen, and that led to a skirmish. And also later, Donovan Mitchell tweaking his hamstring. This is when Utah was down 28 at the time. MRI is negative. But he's got something to work through for a must-win game for Utah. Harry, what do you buy, what do you sell from Mavs 102, Jazz 77?
I'm buying that Luka was going to get the Jazz riled up and upset at some point or another in this game. He was shimmying. He had 19 points in the third quarter. You know who else had 19 points in the third quarter? The Utah Jazz had 19 points in the third quarter. So, and Luka's not really the type to dunk at all. So the fact that he went for a dunk on Hassan Whiteside is disrespectful, but I also really like that.
Israel.
I'm going to sell Luka on being, he's the reason for that skirmish. He was the one who had a little bit of histrionics while he was coming down. You saw Hassan Whiteside just try to help him up, and then his teammates, Finney Smith and Bullock, came to his rescue. I think that was Luka creating something out of nothing there, and Hassan Whiteside got ejected, and he probably shouldn't have been.
Frank Isola.
Yeah. I got no problem with what Hassan Whiteside did. I have no problem with Dallas's reaction to it. The difference in the Mavs team is how they played during the regular season and in the playoffs without Luka. Luka now has more trust in his teammates. They are a dangerous team, the Dallas Mavericks. Very dangerous. Utah, not so much.
And Bill Plaschke.
Yeah, I'm buying the Mavs made a statement that this series is over with. There's something wrong with the Jazz. And Mitchell was a minus 38 even before he got hurt.
Yep.
He and Gobert aren't playing well together. Yep. They're not in sync. There's no urgency there. Mavs win this series.
Buy or sell three. Most improved player in the NBA. It is Ja Morant. But can Ja Morant really be the most improved player in the NBA considering he's a superstar? But then, Ja Morant giving the trophy to his teammate, Desmond Bane, who was also, you know, a very most improved player this year. There was a lot of candidates, Murray and Poole as well. Israel, what should the NBA history books do here? Give it to Morant as they did, or have to change it to Bane here because that's what Morant did?
You can't just make up standards for awards all out of thin air, John Hollinger. Okay, look, he won the Most Improved Player Award. He deserves to win the Most Improved Player Award. I personally would have voted for Desmond Bane because he made a bigger jump in points per game and he carried that team when Ja was out. But you can't just change it like that.
Can you, Frank?
You know what? I don't think you can. I gave my vote for Darius Garland. Second was Desmond Bane. The problem is John Morant should have been ineligible. Come up with a standard. He played in 57 games. How about minimum 65, 68 games? If you don't play that many games, you can't win postseason awards.
Bill Plaschke.
The NBA can't change it, but it has to be. Voters have to be more discerning. How can you be rookie, the best rookie, and then be the most improved player? You should have to be a bad rookie to be a most improved player. That doesn't make any sense to me at all.
I'm with you, Bill. He already arrived. Harry Lyles Jr., most improved player. Is it Bane? Is it Morant? Because he gave the award to Bane. Is it somebody else?
I'm buying that Morant deserves it. I'm also buying that it feels weird that he won it because we already had high expectations of him. I am buying that Desmond Bane also fits what at least we feel the expectation of the award to be, right? That somebody goes from a bench player to a starter, started 76 games, doubled his output, but ultimately have no problem with John Morant winning it.
Harry Lyles, thanks for today, Israel, as well. Plaschke and Isola, you guys
all
got
right,
it a little bit
all
earlier.
All right, all right.
And now
Bill,
you'll see each other.
Bill, great players can improve, Bill. Believe it or not. That's how Giannis got better.
Yes,
he was
but,
good. Now he's great. That's an improvement.
But you need to come from the shadow.
You get that?
Great players can't win most.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Plaschke, Isola, only time for one showdown. It's awesome. Micah Parsons. He had a week back at home in Central PA, and here's how it went. He got to drop the puck at the Hershey Bears game. This is how that played out.
Okay. Got to wait for the guys. He was ready to drop the puck.
Yeah, he dropped it early and also didn't look too pleased at all during it. And the Hershey Bears tweeted, "That's on us. We didn't explain to you how it works." But this week also he got the key to the city of Harrisburg, which is his hometown, which is a wonderful thing. It's so wonderful. He already had it once, but lost the key. So yes, this is his second key. He lost the first one. The city of Harrisburg gets it. Phil, any advice for Mr. Parsons here on how to keep the key to a city and drop the puck at a hockey game?
The puck at the hockey game is not his fault. He probably had never done that before. But the key to keep a second key, you have to take a fake rock, put the key in the rock, put the rock in the front yard. Okay. You'll always
all
have it there.
Right, Frank.
The Micah Parsons Project. He dropped it like it was a grenade. It was going to blow up. I've been there. That is Penn State country, Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. Here's the thing. They gave you the key. Don't tell them you lost it. Just lie. Tell them you got it on your mantle. You're going to make them feel badly that you lost the key. How'd you lose it? You took it out? It stays in your house. Come on.
It's not a real key, guys. It's not a real key. Frank, I saw the FaceTime.
Wow. Sorry, Bill.
Oh, that's not fair.
New York wins again. All right, so Jersey basketball took it on the chin with Kyrie Irving going down last night. But J.R. Smith, one of our favorites, did you see what happened to him at North Carolina A&T? He's their Academic Athlete of the Year, a 4.0 GPA. And oh, by the way, he also has an NIL deal with Lululemon. Good for you, J.R. Smith.
You guys combined get to 4.0? I don't think so.
Kissing J.R. Smith.
Congrats, J.R.